The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, low have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up from the Facebook group, National Organization of Parents of Blind Children, NOPBC, subgroup of the NFB. One of the parents posts a newspaper article on her wrestling daughter. Article by Zach Carter for the Herald Bulletin, defying the odds, PH Jr. among first blind female wrestlers in Indiana. For the Herald Bulletin, Dateline Pendleton. She was inducted into the National Honor Society with a straight A's during her career at Pendleton Heights. She plays multiple instruments, with almost all of them being self-taught, and competed on the school's wrestling team this season for the first time. In her first meet, she went 1-3, including her first career win. These achievements are remarkable for any high school student, but Junior Chow Angermeyer lives with something most don't. She's blind. Her name is spelled Q-I-A-O-A-N-G-E-R-M-E-I-E-R. I forget about it most of the time, she said. Sometimes I'll be at school and I'll think, it'd be really nice if I could see right now because I could learn so much more easily. But most of the time, I don't really think about it. When she was 5 years old, Angermeyer's life changed in multiple ways. She was adopted from China by her parents, Rhonda and Stan, and had to learn a new language. But there was something else. She was diagnosed with retinoblastoma, a cancer that starts in the retina and spreads throughout the eye. In Angermeyer's case, it occurred in both of her eyes. After multiple rounds of chemotherapy and surgeries, her vision could not be saved. I got to see for a little bit, Angermeyer said. I still have memories of color. She manages to maintain an extraordinary level of positivity despite being dealt such a tough blow so early in life. I just went through whatever I went through, and that was that, she said. It didn't seem that hard. It was a much different situation for her mother. It was probably the most difficult thing I've ever gone through in my life, Rhonda Angermeyer said. Watching her go through all of that being so young, God and I had some really difficult conversations because I didn't think it was fair. Until high school, Angermeyer was homeschooled and did almost everything at home, including piano lessons at age 9. Though she learned some things in those sessions, she was bored with it and stopped going after 1 year. But during the COVID-19 pandemic, she started messing with the instrument and continued practicing on her keyboard. After some practice, she decided she wanted to learn Chopin's Nocturne in E-flat major. I was able to find a video that actually plays in a way that I could learn it, Angermeyer said. And so I learned most of it on my own, and I could just play it. Her parents could not believe it when she walked up the stairs and played for them. She wasn't really playing anything, Rhonda Angermeyer said. She could pick out a song here or there, like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. She came upstairs and said, "Hey, I learned how to play a new song." We're thinking maybe she learned something like a church song, or maybe Amazing Grace or something like that. When she played, we were standing there with our mouths wide open. When Angermeyer started high school, she did not think about sports. At that time, she was focusing on her grades and music. However, Arabian's wrestling coach, I guess that's the team, Dave Cloud, entered her study hall and struck up a conversation. Cloud said, "You should join the wrestling team," he said. He then brought up some specific rules for me, and I said I would talk to my mom about it. It took some time for her parents to warm up to the idea, but when Pendleton Heights formed a girls' team, Angermeyer's interest grew. It was also an easier decision for her parents, since she would be wrestling other girls. She made a good argument, and she's so diplomatic, Rhonda Angermeyer said. She mentioned that I can't be in these other sports, and this is a sport I can actually do. However, the idea wasn't just about wrestling. When she was younger, Angermeyer took martial arts courses because her parents wanted her to be able to protect herself. After starting With karate, she was told by an instructor jujitsu might suit her, which she practiced for multiple years. As a blind person, the rates of potential crime are higher, Rhonda Angermeyer said. So we wanted her to have some basics of self-defense so that if something happened to her, she could defend herself. The girls' head coach, Sean Kirby, was intrigued when he learned of Angermeyer's interest. He believes she is one of the first Indiana high school blind female wrestlers to take the mat. I thought it was exciting, not only for our sport, but for herself, he said. I tell kids all the time that I think the sport is a great way to gain confidence in yourself as a young person. I can't imagine anything that would make you feel more confident than being visually impaired and being able to go out there still and compete. Angermeyer joined the wrestling team near the end of last season and did not get to wrestle in any matches. Coming into this year, she was ready to go. Her first match was in the Alexandria Women's Tournament. To her, it was different from any of the matches that followed. Before that very first match ever, I wasn't nervous at all, she said. I didn't know what to expect, and I really wasn't sure what to think. When Angermeyer and her opponent took the floor, her parents, coaches, and teammates were on their feet. In the first 5 seconds, Angermeyer slammed her competition and took the win. I don't even know that there's a word for it. Maybe ecstatic, Rhonda Angermeyer said. We were insanely happy, jumping up and down and screaming because she had worked so hard. While everyone was jubilant about the outcome, Angermeyer remained humble as always. It was definitely very surprising, Angermeyer said. I was not expecting it, and it boosted my confidence a little bit. She finished the season with a 3-7 record, something she jokes about. It was really bad, she said, laughing. Angermeyer's already thinking about her future. She doesn't know what she wants to do career-wise, but she has already talked to multiple collegiate professors who would like to have her join their band in the coming years. She doesn't have to wait to play an important part in a program. The way she has handled herself and her disability is something Pendleton Heights Wrestling will always remember, even if she's too modest to admit it. It's like she's really built a life for herself as an independent young adult, Cloud said. I think she's going to be successful at whatever she does in life. Wrestling takes all kinds of people and body shapes and sizes and abilities. We're just really glad to have her as part of our wrestling family. Though she's accomplished so much under challenging circumstances, Angermeyer doesn't want to stop. She has to use her iPhone 14 in unique ways compared to her friends, or walk an identical path to her classes every day, but doesn't want those differences to affect her. She just wants to be her. There is really no point in dwelling on the past when it doesn't really matter, Angermeyer said. It matters because I'm blind, but I'm just thinking about the challenges that I'm trying to overcome right now. Next up from UnitedSpinal.org, disability etiquette. Tips on interacting respectfully with people with disabilities. Get your copy. A great resource for businesses, schools, organizations, staff training, and disability awareness programs. You don't have to feel awkward when interacting with or when you meet a person who has a disability. This guide provides tips for you to follow that will help create positive interactions and raise everyone's comfort levels. For purchasing information, email Senior Communications Director Josie Byzek, B-Y-Z-E-K, at jbyzek@unitedspinal.org. There's a hot link for a free PDF download. Introduction to Disability Etiquette, Meet the Disability Community, The Basics, Terminology Tips, Disability Categories, Physical Disabilities, Sensory Disabilities, Web and Print Access, Service and Support Animals, Neurodivergence, Scent Triggered Disabilities, People with intellectual disabilities, people of short stature, a final word. Top 10 tips. Join the movement toward true inclusivity. Download the top 10 tips of disability etiquette and become a champion for accessible and welcoming spaces. There's a hot link for that. There are two short videos. I obviously am not going to do those. Introduction. The first disability etiquette guide was published shortly after the 1990 passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act by the Eastern Paralyzed Veterans of America, which became United Spinal Association in 2004. It was written by Terrence Moakley, M-O-A-K-L-E-Y, and James Wiseman, W-E-I-S-M-A-N, and over the years has introduced countless people worldwide to our broad and diverse disability community. We updated this edition with 21st century sensibilities in mind, but the basics as laid out by Moakley and Wiseman are still the same. People with disabilities are people first. They deserve dignity and respect, as do all people everywhere. We hope this guide and the tips offered make interacting with members of the disability community more comfortable, leading to increased understanding and improved accessibility for all. The Americans with Disabilities Act defines a person with a disability as someone with a physical or mental impairment that substantially limits one or more major life activities, a history or record of such an impairment, or is perceived by others as having such an impairment. A closer look at those whose disability affects everyday activities. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Disability and Health Data System estimates that up to 27% of Americans live with a disability that impacts their daily life. Here's the breakdown. 12.1% of U.S. adults have a mobility disability with serious difficulty walking or climbing stairs. 12.8% of U.S. adults have a cognitive disability with serious difficulty concentrating, remembering, or making decisions. 7.2% of U.S. adults have an independent living disability with difficulty doing errands alone. 6.1% of the U.S. adults are deaf or have serious difficulty hearing. 4.8% of U.S. adults have a vision disability with blindness or serious difficulty seeing, even when wearing glasses. 3.6% of U.S. adults have a self-care disability with difficulty dressing or bathing. Thanks to our society's increased commitment to the values of inclusion and accessibility, more people with disabilities are part of a nation's labor pool, employed in every field and industry. People with disabilities purchase the same goods and services as non-disabled people, yet misunderstandings and even discrimination persist. We hope this disability etiquette guide will help facilitate the full inclusion of all people with disabilities into all aspects of society. We believe we all become stronger when we understand and support each other. We then become better employers, employees, business owners, and customers when we all feel valued and welcomed. The basics. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Here are some tips that cover what often goes overlooked in everyday life. Ask before you help. Don't assume that because a person has a disability, they need help. Usually they will ask if they need assistance. If you offer and they accept, follow their instructions. They know their capabilities. Do not touch, pat, or grab. No one wants to be touched without consent, including people with disabilities. Do not touch, grab, or guide them or their wheelchair, scooter, or cane without permission. Remember that people with disabilities consider their equipment part of their personal space. Speak directly to the person with a disability. Also, while striking up a conversation is great, remember that most people, including those with disabilities, would rather not discuss their bodies or a medical history with people they just met. Avoid making assumptions. People with disabilities are the best judge of what they can or cannot do. Remember, it could violate the ADA in many situations to exclude people from an activity because of their disability. Be open to requests for access or accommodation. Nurturing an equitable, inclusive society is up to all of us. Ensuring your business is accessible and committing to reasonable accommodations upon request not only complies with anti-discrimination laws, but also showcases excellent customer service and dedication to all members of your community. Terminology tips. Language constantly evolves, including how people with disabilities prefer to be presented or spoken about. Pre-ADA, it wasn't uncommon to hear people called handicapped, crippled, or retarded, terms that are frowned upon, and the latter especially are even considered slurs. Phrases such as differently abled and physically challenged seem harmless, but are considered unhelpfully euphemistic by many in our community. It's best to avoid them. Here are two respectful models for speaking about people with disabilities. identity first language. Many advocates assert that being disabled is as natural as any other identity, on a par with gender, sexual orientation, religion, ethnicity, or race. Identity first language arose from a growing number of autistics, with a capital A, who view autism as a positive, natural part of who they are. Also, the deaf community historical refers to itself as deaf with a capital D. However, there is not yet consensus among all disability groups to adopt identity-first language, person-first language. As the disability movement came into its own after the passage of the ADA, advocates asserted that individuals with disabilities are people first, equal and deserving of the same rights and treatments as everyone else. Person-first language was born from our movement's early days. Say person with a disability and people with disabilities. For specific disabilities, saying person with a spinal cord injury or person with cerebral palsy is considered respectful. Similarly, say wheelchair user or person who uses a wheelchair. People are not bound or confined to their wheelchairs after all. A wheelchair is a tool that enables the person to get around and participate in society. It's liberating, not confining. While it is okay to interchange identity first and person first, it is best to take the lead from the disabled person or group you are interacting with. Chances are you won't need to choose either speaking style and can simply call them by their names. Words to avoid? Avoid negative, disempowering words like victim or sufferer. Never use the word retard or retardation. Ever. It is okay to use idiomatic expressions when talking to people with disabilities. For example, saying it was good to see you is fine. In this guide, we will explore the following four disability categories. Physical. These conditions impact a person's ability to move their body. Examples include spinal cord injury, spina bifida, cerebral palsy, stroke, arthritis, and multiple sclerosis. The same person may use a cane, crutches, a walker, or a wheelchair to get around, while others may not be able to move their arms or legs at all. Take care not to generalize or make assumptions about a person's ability based on whatever tool they are using to access their home and community. Sensory. This category primarily refers to conditions that impact a person's ability to see or hear. Some people may be totally blind, while others may be able to read a little bit or see color. Deaf people have created a vibrant culture with its own literature and language. People who lose all or some of their hearing later in life are typically referred to as being hard of hearing or having a hearing impairment. Neurodivergent. This term arises from the autistic community and includes all the ways some people's brains may work differently from those who are neurotypical. Attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder, brain injury, Tourette's syndrome, dyslexia, and mental health conditions all fall under this broad, relatively new category. Intellectual. Intellectual disability can be seen as a subset of neurodivergence, but deserves its own category as it may require different accommodations from other disability types. Examples include Down syndrome, Fragile X, and developmental delay. Although disabilities may seem to fit specific categories, people are not easy to sort. An individual may have one or many types of disabilities. For example, multiple sclerosis is usually categorized as physical, but it also may lead to neurodivergence and often includes visual impairments. Similarly, cerebral palsy may affect a person's speech, ability to move, and thinking processes, or it may not. It's best to remember that everyone's an individual with unique wants, needs, and desires. This includes each person with a disability. Physical disabilities, people who use wheelchairs or other mobility devices. People who use wheelchairs, walkers, canes, and crutches are individuals, not equipment. Remember to treat them like people, not furniture or coat racks. Some people can use their arms and hands. Others can get out of their wheelchairs and even walk for short distances. Try not to make assumptions about a person's abilities just by looking at them. Here are 9 more helpful tips. Clear ramps. Keep the ramps and wheelchair accessible doors to your building unlocked and unblocked. To ensure compliance with the ADA, don't place displays in front of entrances. Leave housekeeping carts in the middle of hallways or put boxes on ramps. Eye-level conversations. When talking to a wheelchair user, grab a chair and sit at their level. If that's not possible, stand at a slight distance so they aren't straining their neck to make eye contact with you. Remove trip hazards. Rugs or other floor coverings must be perfectly flush with no bunches of fabric or corners sticking out to trip up a cane or a crutch user. Also, make sure floors are dry and hazard-free. Choose services that don't become slick if damp and use wet floor signs when appropriate. Easy reach items. Ensure that items are placed within easy reach of a seated person, that aisles are wide enough for a wheelchair user to glide through, and that there is a clear path of travel to shelves and display racks. Seat level counters. Your service counter should be low enough for a wheelchair user to see over easily. If it is too high and you cannot comply with the ADA by lowering it, step around it to provide the customer who uses a wheelchair with equal service. Ensure your card reader is within easy reach by a seated person, or hold it lower so a wheelchair user can tap their phone or card to make a purchase. Limited reach. Some people have limited use of their hands, wrists, or arms. They may ask you to assist with reaching, grasping, or lifting objects, opening doors and display cases, and operating vending machines and other equipment. Accessible routes. If your building has different ways through it, be sure that signs direct people to the accessible paths around the facility. People who use canes or crutches also need to know the easiest way to get around a building, but may prefer the shortest route over the most wheelchair accessible. Ensure that security guards and receptionists can answer questions about the most accessible way around the building and grounds, including the location of elevators. Informed consent. Never touch anyone without their permission, especially people with disabilities. Grabbing a person using a cane or crutches could cause serious injury, as they often need their arms to balance themselves. People with limited mobility may lean on a door for support as they open it. Pushing the door from behind or unexpectedly opening it may cause them to fall. Always ask before offering help, and then follow their instructions. Places to rest. People whose disabilities are not visible may also have trouble walking long distances or quickly. Be sure that your museum, hotel, or department store has ample benches for people to sit and rest on. Contact our accessibility services team for more specific advice on making your business fully inclusive to wheelchair users and others with physical disabilities at www.accessibility-services.com. There is more, but I'm going to skip ahead to those of us who have visual impairments. And let me see if I can find that. Under sensory disabilities, people who are blind. People who are blind undergo training to learn how to orient themselves and travel unassisted and may use a cane or a guide dog. Do not interfere with them if you observe them out and about doing their business. If they need assistance, they will ask. Here are 8 more ideas. Identify yourself when you meet a blind person and introduce them to others in the group they may not see or whose voices they may not recognize. Inform the blind person if you're leaving the area and ask if they need anything before you go. Offer a tour of your facility to a new customer or employee who is blind or has a visual impairment. Good lighting is important, but it shouldn't be too bright. Some bright overhead lighting fixtures can cause pain for people with damaged optic nerves. Additionally, anything that can produce a glare may aggravate an eye condition. Keep all walkways obstruction free. Also, notify your customers who are blind or have visual impairments of any 8 changes you have made to your facility, such as rearranging exhibits or furniture. And make sure there are no low-hanging barriers or protruding objects as well. Never grab a blind person to guide them. Instead, ask them if they'd like assistance and offer your elbow for them to hold on to. If they need further help, they will let you know. Do not pet, touch, or otherwise distract a service dog as it is working. Also, do not touch a person's cane. If they put their cane down, do not move it. Offer to read written information such as menus or labels to customers who are blind. Inform them if there's a QR code which may allow independent access to the material. When serving a blind person food, offer to let them know where it is on the plate according to a clock orientation. 12 o'clock furthest from them, 6 o'clock closest. Some patrons may ask you to cut their food. You or the cook can do this in the restaurant's kitchen before serving the meal. Web and print access. Web access for people who are blind or visually impaired is essential for their participation in the digital realm. Screen readers and other assistive technologies allow blind people to navigate websites and read content. A person with a visual impairment may request large print written material. A clear font with appropriate spacing is as important as the type size. Use contrasting bold colors when designing labels and signs. Avoid using all uppercase letters so people with low vision can easily distinguish the end of a sentence. For more information, contact United Spinal Association's Tech Access Initiative. And there are more tips and more etiquette proposals for people with more issues. A final word. People with disabilities are individuals with families, jobs, hobbies, likes and dislikes, and problems and joys. While their disability is integral to their identity, it does not define them. Don't make them into heroes or victims. Recognize them as individuals. The above information is available as a PDF. Click the image to download your copy today. From the NFB.org, Washington Seminar. At our Washington Seminar, members of the National Federation of the Blind convene to learn about and advocate for legislative initiatives that will improve the lives of blind Americans. Approximately 3 legislative initiatives are chosen for priority attention each year. These initiatives, which form the Washington Seminar priorities, are based on the official positions of the NFB adopted at the National Convention and can address concerns related to civil rights, educational programs and services, rehabilitation of the blind for competitive employment, the operation of vending facilities by blind persons on public property, specialized library services for the blind, the organization and funding of federal programs, Social Security disability and supplemental security income programs, and other timely topics. The first Washington Seminar took place in 1973. Today, more than 500 people from 50 states, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico typically attend. Dates and location, Monday, January 29th through Thursday, February 1, 2024. Holiday Inn, Washington Capitol, National Mall, 550 C Street, Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20024. Schedule, 2024 Full Washington Seminar Agenda at Hotlinks. The 2024 Full Washington Seminar Agenda is available in HTML and in Word. Great Gathering Inn on Monday, January 29, 2024. The Great Gathering Inn is the very exciting opening session of the Washington Seminar. It takes place Monday afternoon at 5 ET and adjourns promptly at 7 ET. Please join us on Zoom using the meeting ID 981-5655-6455 via OneTap Mobile, plus 130-171-58592, comma, 981-565-564-55 pound for the Washington, D.C. area, or with the plus 130-522-41968, comma, 981-565-564-55 pound for the rest of the U.S. Congressional reception Tuesday, January 30, 2024. Congressional appointments on Tuesday through Thursday, and you can find the rest at nfb.org. I've run out of time for this week's Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org.